David Macaulay has made a life and a living explaining architecture. As the author and illustrator of such books as Cathedral, Castle, and City, Macaulay uses pen and ink to depict the evolution of large-scale public building projects. 30 years after the publication of Cathedral, Macaulay has examined and drawn another sacred space in his new book, Mosque. One afternoon this fall, we met David Macaulay in the courtyard of Washington, D.C.'s Islamic Center.
The courtyard is that sort of transitional space between the world outside and that very special, intimate experience that you're going to have in the prayer hall itself. Here in Washington, there's actually a little more noise than I'm used to in the courtyards because one side of it is open. But in the Ottoman mosques, the Ottoman complexes, the courtyard was an enclosed space, and often if it was in a neighborhood, it was enclosed and often surrounded by the rooms used by the madrasa, the school, so there was extra insulation from the hustle and bustle of street life. So it becomes a quieter space. It becomes a space where you sort of collect your thoughts, where you would wash your hands and face at the fountain, and prepare yourself for entering the most sacred space.
Leaving the courtyard, we walked up a small flight of stone stairs. On the landing, we removed our shoes and then padded into the central prayer hall of the Islamic Center. Once inside, David Macaulay directed our attention to a design feature that this hall shares with most mosques.
The central open space surrounded by a combination of columns and piers, a big pier at each corner, and in between pairs of columns, all of which go up to support what looks like an octagonal roof as opposed to a hemispherical dome here. But the idea is that you want to cover the space with a simple form that is not in itself square or rectangular. Now, the alternative would be to fill the space with columns and things like that. So what they've done is to spread them around the perimeter of the open space, always keeping the center of the prayer hall open.
You described in your book some of the major problems that the designer and the builder of the mosque face, and the first was to find a way to fit a circular roof on top of a square room without filling the central space with columns. How was the problem solved with the imaginary mosque that you describe in your book from the 16th century?
Well, it's solved in a way that's actually quite similar to what we see here. You sort of pull the supports out beyond the perimeter. You take them up high. These are vertical supports. You connect them with a ring of arches. Now, of course, the arches do cut off the corners, but way up high. And then once you've got that ring of arches, you have a support for the circular base that will in turn support the dome. All you have to remember to do then is to build things up against the outside of that ring of arches. And all those forces that are trying to push horizontally will be transferred down through the piers and columns to the foundations.
At the eastern end of the prayer hall stands the Qibla wall. It's covered by ceramic tiles decorated with a blue and green floral pattern and is the focal point for prayer within the mosque. A niche in the Qibla wall, called the mihrab, represents the gateway to paradise.
The Qibla wall is the wall that faces Mecca. And so when we came into the building, there was a slight shift in angle between the courtyard we passed through and the prayer hall we're now standing in. And that shift was determined by the line, the imaginary line called the Qibla, that points directly towards Mecca. And that, so the rest of the building, the complex around us, will respond to the grid pattern of Washington. But the mosque itself, the prayer hall itself, will respond only to the Qibla.
The mosque that you describe in your book seems to be part of a larger structure, almost, I don't want to say a city unto itself, but it seems to be that way.
It's a complex. It's definitely a complex of buildings. And the prayer, what we think of as the mosque, is the prayer hall. It's the sort of the most important building of the complex. But that complex was designed to do all kinds of things, all of which were religiously connected, but were also civically minded. So you might find a hospital in some cases. In my complex, I chose to build the soup kitchen, which is fairly standard, the baths, the school, the madrasa, which is sort of the college associated with the prayer hall and the mosque, and even buildings that were designed almost entirely to generate revenue to fund for generations to come the maintenance of that foundation and of that mosque and of that school and so on. So these became neighborhood centers. And that's what that was one of the most interesting things for me to really come to understand. I thought I was going to be building, you know, the mosque and the dome and explaining the engineering and all that sort of stuff. And I found all these other attributes of this undertaking that went way beyond just the gathering five times a day for prayer.
When one walks in here, there's a calm, a peace. There are no pews or aisle or altar that you might find in a cathedral, but it is strangely similar to it. How does this differ from other sacred buildings? You yourself have written a book about a cathedral, for example.
Well, there are a couple of things that come to mind. First of all, it is a more contained circular space. There's no procession here. There's no ritual from the front door to the. You want to get as close to the Qibla wall and to the mihrab, the center of the Qibla wall, as possible. But there's no ritual to do it. There are no pilgrims wandering around the space during the, except for us today, during the services or while people are praying. There are no statues. There are no sort of physical embodiments of people. It's all ornamentation, whether it be natural, floral, calligraphic. But it's. The biggest single difference is that sense of a centralized space, lit. There are not to be any shadows. I mean, they're not looking for mystery and darkness here that you might find in some of the smaller, more intimate chapels that spread off a cathedral. This is about light, and it's about, in a sense, capturing sort of God's light in a way that reveals everything. You should be able to understand the structure by looking at it. They're not trying to be mysterious with this architecture at all. It sort of explains itself, and in that sense is very welcoming.
Yes, the sunlight streaming through those flower-shaped cutouts on the window, a big chandelier right in the middle of the prayer hall. It's a communal space, but it strikes me, certainly observing the gentlemen that are praying now as we speak, it's a very individual experience.
It's a totally individual experience. And the thing that was most, you know, extraordinary to me was that sort of realization that as grand as the architecture may be, as impressive to the visitor, to the tourist, as proud of the building as the neighborhood may be, when it comes right down to it, it's you, your prayer mat, and God.
We leave the prayer hall, put our shoes back on, and descend the stairs into the courtyard, and then stroll into a side garden. Looking at a decorative but dry fountain, David McCauley says the sacred buildings themselves inspired him to write Mosque. The motivation was September 11th.
I sat there that Tuesday watching this surrealistic stuff on television and trying to figure out how to process it, what to do with it. As I'm sure most of us did. I mean, what is going on here? How could this possibly be happening? And Saturday, I called up my editor, my publisher, Walter Lorraine, and I said, Walter, I said, I think it's time to do Mosque. And I didn't really think about why I was thinking it was time to do Mosque. I just thought, I have to do something. What do? I explain things. I explain buildings. And buildings, it seems to me, represent the best of what humanity can create. So why not an example of the best of what this group of humanity has created? And you end up basically learning more about the similarities between people than in a sense you do about the differences. And I thought that was ultimately perhaps the most important comment I could make. But I just learned that along the way as I was doing it. Began to realize that the distinction of this particular architecture was, in a sense, secondary to the sense of humanity that we all share.
Isn't that the mark of a wonderful space, albeit this is a sacred space, but even if one was not Muslim, one could appreciate what is here.
I think that's true with the mosques, with the great mosque. I think it's true with the great cathedrals. You don't have to be a Muslim. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to be a Jew. You walk into those spaces and you think, oh my God. I mean, and what more appropriate utterance could you either say or keep inside when you see these spaces? And it doesn't mean you necessarily follow that particular ritual, but you understand and respond to that motivation.
David McCauley is the author of Mosque, which is published by Houghton Mifflin. Thank you so much for this audio tour of the Islamic Center in Washington.
It's been my great pleasure.
To see pictures from our tour of Washington, D.C.'s Islamic Center and from David McCauley's Mosque, please visit our website at npr.org. Our visit to the Islamic Center was recorded by Greg Gavin and produced by Neil Carruth.